she said, do you come from a land down under, where women glow and men plunder? Can't you hear the thunder? Yeah. You better run, you better take cover. Yeah. You better run, you better take cover.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Cider Nation podcast, a unique baseball podcast brought to you by Jay Birdie Baseball Company. Get your Canadian baseball apparel at jbirdie.ca and make sure to follow them on social media. Today, we have former college baseball player and now professional comedian Juan Forno. Thanks for coming on, Juan.
Hey, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
I guess first things first, could you talk to us a little bit about what sports looked like for you growing up?
Yeah, definitely. Growing up, it was always baseball. In my household, I know you know my dad, so he is a diehard baseball guy. That's the only thing that's on the TV growing up. Even in the winter, he's the kind of guy that will go back and just watch old games and have baseball on the TV. So baseball was life. In ninth grade, I got a little bit rebellious and decided I wanted to play football and basketball as well. played one game of football and broke my ankle. I think that was a week after I made the very first Okotoks Junior Dogs team that happened. So he was pissed. Got to be on that provincial championship team when I was 15. That was a cool experience getting to play in that stadium that first season that it was there. Nice. And then played a couple years in Strathmore and played about 2 months worth of college baseball at Thompson Rivers University and decided school wasn't for me. So that was that was my trip down the baseball career lane.
What position were you there, Juan?
Mostly catcher, predominantly a catcher. Played a little bit of outfield and then threw enough strikes to pitch a little bit, but never hard enough to be good at it.
Yeah, and it's just something we kind of talked to a little bit with everyone, but what did your kind of recruiting process look like? I mean, you said you went to TRU, but what did it look like recruiting-wise?
Yeah, there wasn't much recruiting being done, to be honest with you. Gotcha. I was a troubled youth, to say the least. I dealt with a lot of mental health issues and couldn't really get on track. And I think that's the reason I only lasted, about 2 months at TRU. But with that being said, my affiliation, not only with my dad, but, with the Dogs and in that Western Canadian College League, everybody knew who I was. And I was pretty free to, walk on with whomever I wanted. I just felt like I had to get away and experience something new. So I went with TRU, Ray Chadwick being the coach there and him having that MLB experience. I was really drawn to that. Also, the catchers that were there at the time, a lot of seniors, not a lot of youth in the catcher position. And also great guys to learn from. So Kyle, Aaron, there's one other dude that's Greg Dealey, and then myself as the youth. So I saw a path to starting time, year two. And that's kind of what forced that decision.
Yeah, I know for a lot of Canadians, it's that tricky decision to go to the States or, stay in Canada. I was guilty of that. I went the American route, but I feel like there's more and more opportunities to stay in Canada now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the internet plays a huge part where it's just so much easier to, get discovered. Yeah. There's so many programs and websites and of that nature that you don't necessarily have to be, right in the scout's face playing, NCAA Div 1 to get noticed. So, it's great that we have those tools and that, we don't have to pay an arm and a leg just to get across the border to get noticed. A lot more Canadian kids getting drafted. And these other programs that are, being built from the ground up and doing it the right way and, trying to even the playing field, if that makes sense.
Yep. And then I guess kind of post-baseball there, Juan, what did it look for you and kind of how did you get into comedy?
Yeah, post-baseball for me was tough. You know, I grew up, like I said, my whole life, I thought I was going to be a professional baseball player. And, you know, that obviously wasn't the case. I didn't have the right work ethic and mentality towards the situation. And I wish I would have done it differently. But, you know, eventually I found comedy. It was a weird thing. I was living in my mom's undeveloped basement at the time. I was playing Nintendo 64 with my two best friends from high school. We were sipping on some very, very inexpensive adult beverages. And one of my buddies suggested I do an open mic. Took me about 2 years to actually commit and do it. But once I did, I fell in love with it for sure.
Is there anything like kind of similarities, like maybe just, you know, playing baseball and then stepping on stage doing comedy, like just kind of that adrenaline maybe, or any similarities?
Yeah, I think a lot of the life lessons I learned from playing baseball helped set me up for success in comedy, to be honest with you. You know, maybe I didn't listen to those life lessons as they were being taught, but over time coming to understand, you know, what they meant, and it really benefited me. One example is I remember I was probably 15 or 16 playing for the Dogs, and Vincent Arcandia was my coach at the time. And we didn't get along so great because he was a hard ass, but he meant well. And I know that now. And I remember striking out, two outs, bottom of the ninth, a tying run on second base, and I struck out looking. After the game, Vince came and talked to me and asked me, you know, he's like, what happened? What did you see? What did you feel? And immediately my response was, Oh, the umpire, making excuses mm-hmm. and not owning it. And, yeah, he yelled at me pretty good. And, I don't think I've ever made an excuse since that day, to be honest with you. You know, owning your shit, taking responsibility and learning from it and getting better from it. You know, if you place blame on others, then, you know, you're not going to grow and get better. So, that was a life lesson. And then, you know, converting that to comedy, you know, there's always a way to be successful in comedy. You know, don't make excuses. Don't blame the audience. Don't blame this booker for not booking you, you know, control what you can control and make yourself undeniable, make yourself good enough that, you know, people can't tell you no. And if they do tell you no, then they're the idiots and that's their loss.
Yeah. Find someone else or yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And like, that's definitely a very good point. I'm always trying to preach that, like never leave it up to the umpire, right? Like even if it wasn't a strike, if he thought it was a strike, then obviously it was pretty darn close. Right. So
yeah. Yeah. More times than not for sure.
Yeah. And you know, your definition of the strike zone might be a little bit different than his definition of the strike zone. So
exactly.
But yeah, like, I mean, going back to comedy wise, like you're like, have you had some, what would be kind of your more interesting audiences or, or places that you've done comedy?
Yeah. How PG-13 does this podcast have to be?
All good. No, it doesn't have to be.
Okay. We didn't
give a warning
of the parameters.
No, all good.
Yeah. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm based out of Portland, Oregon right now, and last year lived in Seattle, Washington. So honestly, I thought small town Alberta was bad until I started doing shows in small town America. And it is wild to me what is deemed normal and acceptable in these places. I'm a white guy. I'm white. Like, I know I got the Spanish name, my dad's Latin, but like my skin tone, like I'm a white dude. And I was performing in Chehalis, Washington, headlining a show at a brewery there. And I kept pronouncing the name of the town wrong. Eventually this lady that was sitting at the bar, you know, 5'2", 100 pounds, soaking wet, 50 years old, out of nowhere threatened to lynch me if I didn't start saying the name of the town properly. So, you know, it's stuff like that where I'm like, oh damn, like, okay, Canada, you know, Fort McMurray doesn't seem so bad anymore.
That's very fair. And have you been able to, it sounds like you've done a lot of traveling with it, hey?
A decent amount. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely all over Canada. As far out as, you know, Thunder Bay, Ottawa, West Coast all the way to Vancouver, and then Washington and Oregon. I haven't ventured off too far from that in the States yet, but decent amount. Yeah, I've gotten to see some cool places and also some not cool places. But you know, you go where the paycheck is. So,
yeah. I guess, like, how would you describe your comedy style there, Juan?
Yeah, I think it took a little while for me to develop what I felt was right for me and what worked for me. You know, I wouldn't say I'm like a dirty comedian, but I'm definitely not afraid to tackle, you know, tougher subjects. So I obviously, being a, you know, Latin Canadian comedian living in America, there was a lot to take away, a lot of different experiences. Yep. And then I talk about my family a lot. I got a pretty crazy family, so they're a pretty easy target, and they handle it well. So,
well, and then speaking of family, though, like, obviously, and you mentioned it, like, a lot of baseball in your family. You know, brothers played college baseball. Could you just talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, there's parts of me that are envious because my two younger brothers, Dallas and Brody, got that full, you know, college experience. Dallas played in San Antonio and in Kansas as a pitcher, and had a really good career, and walked away with a math degree. He's one of the smartest people I know. So, you know, it was really cool to see him succeed in all those facets and see, that hard work, you know, and what it's supposed to look like, and then being able to accomplish that. And then Brody, the youngest, is probably like number one or number two starter for a school in North Dakota right now at nice. Williston State. Kids throwing like 90, 6'4". So that's really cool to see. And he got a full ride to a school in Oklahoma for his last 2 years, actually. Well, I guess he's probably got the scholarship for the third year, and hopefully that goes well and gets another one. But yeah, I shouldn't put that bad juju out in the air and get too ahead of myself.
No pressure.
yeah, exactly. But he's in he's in Tucson right now for spring training. He's thrown there, and I think he's actually pitching today, and then heading down next week to see him as well. So it's a cool experience. I got to see him last two summers play for the Collegiate Dogs. And he threw well. I think his ERA was like a 2.4 last year. Nice. You know, hopefully he continues to excel and work hard and, you know, get a little bit stronger. And then who knows? We'll see what happens. Maybe he'll be playing for the Portland Pickles one summer. Be able to hang out with them for a summer.
Do you go to many Portland Pickles games, or I guess...
Last year was a lot of Mariners games. So being based in Seattle, I think I went to like 25, 30 Mariners games out of 82 last year. I lived in Everett, which is about 20 minutes north of Seattle, and they got the Aqua Sox there, the single A affiliate. So I went to a couple of those games. Yeah. And then, yeah, I'm sure this year, being in the Portland area, I'll be at Pickles games. And then Hillsboro is about 15 minutes west of Portland. And they get I think they're AAA, the Hillsboro Hops. I'm not 100% sure who they're affiliated with. Maybe it's Oakland. But, Hillsboro Hops. And I'm a big beer guy, and their whole thing is craft beer. So Wednesdays is $5 tickets and $5 pints. So I'm imagining Wednesdays will be spent in Hillsboro.
And I guess with the upcoming World Baseball Classic there, Juan, like, any thoughts on that, or who are you pulling for?
Yeah, I mean, Team Canada all the way for sure, but they got a little bit of an uphill battle. You know, it's Freddie Freeman against the world for Canada. looking at these rosters. I did wake up. I was surprised to see that the Netherlands beat Cuba. That was interesting to see, but they got a solid squad. And then obviously there's the DR and the USA that are the favorites. So I want to see an upset, man. I'm ready to see, you know, like a team like the Netherlands or Canada or even hell, Korea, you know, who's got good baseball there. I would love to see, you know, anybody but the USA. I also feel like there needs to be rules set out for how many MLB players you can have on your roster to kind of even the playing field, make it a little more interesting, you know. The USA is an all-star team. Talked about.
Yeah.
Right. So it's tough
Czech,
to compete
Czech
with
Republic.
That. Yeah, yeah, exactly. The Czech Republic's got like teachers and lawyers playing on that team. They've never
it's
seen
cool
95.
To see, like, yeah, I'm definitely very familiar with like European baseball, like played with the Great Britain national team. So it's pretty cool to see them now in the World Baseball Classic and kind of what they've been able to kind of do there. So it'll be an interesting game for me to watch Canada versus Great Britain, having played for both of their national teams. So I don't
no doubt. Yeah, no, it's cool. I think, you know, baseball's not quite where soccer is globally, but it's cool to see other parts of the world, you know, get invested into baseball and now having, you know, the tournament. I know it just kind of got its feet under itself and then the pandemic hit and canceled when it was supposed to be in 2021. But, you know, I think it's good for baseball. I think it brings a lot of attention. And I think the players that, you know, come over and play in the MLB, love that opportunity to represent their country, you know, since it's no longer an Olympic sport. You know, guys like Ohtani getting to, you know, wear that flag, wear that Japanese flag, and, you know, all the Netherlands players, you know, guys like Bogaerts. And I think it's important. I think it's really cool that it's something that exists, and I think it's important. And it's nice that, you know, the MLB has embraced that and lets its players play and puts on a good showcase for sure.
Yeah, the Olympics part's going to be interesting. Like, supposedly it's going to maybe come back depending on whichever country's hosting it, right? And I guess if Los Angeles has the 2028, they might bring it back, but it's they're never going to have dream teams. I think that's the biggest argument, right? Or, you know, IOC wants, you know, that'll never happen, right? So,
yeah, well, it's a different, yeah, because it's in the summertime when the season's going on, right? They're not going to pause the season and they're not going to let their players leave during the season. So, maybe it'll be a little bit more of an authentic tournament, so to speak, where, you know, you don't have those MLB all-stars and future Hall of Famers in the tournament. So that could be, you know, maybe a cool subsidiary to the WBC, but it's definitely not going to be the same thing for sure.
Well, and then speaking about comedy there, Juan, like any thoughts on the new pitch count or pitch clock?
Oh, fuck, man. I think they're going to get rid of that pretty quickly once Max Scherzer has 27 strikeouts in a perfect game. I don't know if you've seen what he's been doing, man, but he's using it to his advantage. And, you know, it's already so hard to hit these guys that are throwing upper 90s with movement. You know, they want a quicker pace, more offense game, but they're giving the pitchers the advantage, I think, with his pitch clock. You know, it's still new. We'll have to see how it plays out, and hopefully, you know, hitters can adjust, and hopefully there'll be a lot more, you know, stolen bases and that sorts of thing. Maybe get back to the small ball where MLB players know how to bunt, because that's a lost art form for sure. But it'll be interesting to see. I'm a traditionalist, man. All this, we got to speed up the game and save an extra 10 minutes. Like, I don't think you're attracting new fans by saving 10 minutes. And I think there you're alienating your base. Now, I could be wrong. These guys are much smarter than I am, but I think the pitch clock is a weird thing. I think it takes away from, you know, the little cat and mouse game between the pitchers and the base runners and the hitters and, you know, being only able to call time once in an event. You know, I used to like fucking with pitchers. You know, if they tried to quick pitch me, I would make sure I slowed them down. You know, I would take all the time in the world and call time three times. You know, adjust the batting gloves, shoelaces, dirt in the eye, whatever it may be to throw them off.
Well, it's interesting too, right? Like when there's like a violation, the ump calls time and then steps out and like has to basically announce it. And I feel like that just wasted time.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. Yeah. Every time, you know, and then there's going to come a time where, you know, it already happened in spring training where, you know, I don't know what they call it, if it's like a hitter's block or whatever, but the hitter got strike three at the end of the game to end the game with a runner on the tying run on third base, you know? So spring training, not the end of the world, pretty shitty to not get your swings in that moment. But, you know, when it comes to a game that matters, you know, That's terrible. That's like walking in the winning run, you know. That's just we can't have that. You know, and there it's gonna happen. There's going to be an instance where the pitch clock determines the game. And I understand you can make the argument, oh, well, you shouldn't have been down in the ninth inning, and then it wouldn't have been an issue. Obviously, it comes down to more than just one play, but you know, to have a tight baseball game end that way, it's gonna be real shitty. Maybe there's a way to, you know, just turn it off for the ninth inning so you don't run into that situation. I don't know, but I'm going to be pissed when that happens.
Yeah, I think I was reading somewhere, like, especially after that happened, I think they started realizing, like, oh, you can't end a game. At least if it's, like, not in the ninth inning, have to maybe shut it off. Or if it's less than five runs, maybe has to get shut off. Because, yeah, you definitely can't. Like,
right. Yeah, that can't happen. Can't have
World Series ending on that, but
well, could you imagine? Oh my god, that's almost worse than the Houston Astros. Maybe it's worse than the Houston Astros.
Yeah, it'd be close. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then Juan, with it being Sidearm Nation, like, have you had many kind of teammates that were sidearm submarine pitchers, or do you remember facing any sidearm submarine pitchers?
I don't really ever remember facing any. I did play with one. His name was Matt Kennett. He was just kind of learning towards the end of high school, throw sidearm. And he was pretty good at it. He had the longest arms for a 5'6" human being you'll ever see. And it was decent. And you could tell it made a difference to the hitters, you know, who, you know, at that age don't necessarily see a whole lot of that, you know, same as like a knuckleball pitcher or whatever kind of specialist, you know, might be. I don't ever recall facing it. I played in the FNBA for a couple seasons, and I remember hitting a triple off a dude that tried to drop down on one pitch. But it's the FNBA, and he floated a 65 mile an hour fastball belt high. So, and I'm not a fast guy. Let me tell you right now, if I hit a triple, that something went very wrong. Not only with the pitch, but with the defensive alignment on top of that.
They didn't have the shift right, I guess. Hey, or...
yeah, they didn't get that right at all. Now, speaking of the shift, though, some of these lefty power hitters are going to have career years.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I know.
Oh my god, playing first base never got scarier. Like, yeah. Welcome to the other hot corner now.
Yeah, pretty much, eh? No, it definitely has.
Yeah, it's wild. You know, for a guy like Joey Gallo to still have potential career years, you know. Chris Davis is pissed right now. This is being implemented now and not 10 years ago. Yes.
And I guess one, who would be some of your favorite players growing up? And I guess, like, kind of what was your favorite team?
Yeah, I was mostly a Mariners guy. I'll always cheer for the Blue Jays. But, you know, when I started kind of really finding myself in baseball and falling in love with baseball to the point of being a fan on top of, you know, playing, it was that 01 series, 01 season where the Mariners won like 116 games. And I remember checking the scores every morning. And, you know, it was right around the height where Ichiro won MVP and Rookie of the Year in the same season. And then he got the hit record. And, you know, they were just a fun team to watch. And then, you know, being able to spend that time in Seattle last year kind of really reignited that that passion for the Mariners. I got to see the Seattle Mariners Ichiro Hall of Fame night. I got to go to the wild card game that lasted 18 innings, and I wanted to die. Because I don't know if you know this, but they cut off alcohol sales in the seventh inning. And if you play another 11 innings without any booze, your legs start to get sore. But it was cool, man. It was cool to see, you know, playoff baseball environment, you know, sold out stadium, packed, you know, all the celebrities there to hype them up. The Pearl Jam guitarist did the national anthem, and you know, I'm not a Macklemore fan, but Macklemore was there. You know, and they knew how to get the crowd into it, you know, saying that they're going live on ESPN. I also went to the stadium to watch the Blue Jays series, that wild card series where the Mariners won, which was two really good games. So that was also really cool to see. Yeah, Ichiro was probably my favorite player growing up. And then Joe Mauer, because, you know, the catcher thing, yep. You know, seeing a guy hit 380 as a catcher and just such a pure hitter. His story is so cool. You know, he only played with the Twins. He is a Minnesota boy growing up. So that was always a cool story to me. I really like Joe Mauer. And those would be the top two, I would say.
Yeah, I played against Joe when I was on the Canadian junior national team, and just this raw, like, just sounded different off his bat. Like, there, you could just tell, like, there was something different there, right? And, like, we had Justin Morneau on our team, and you could tell, like, just both these guys, like, they were in a different...
They're just built differently, man.
Just sounded different, and just like, okay, I think there's going to be something special with both these guys, and it was interesting to see him kind of get... basically be on the same team.
Yeah, I think that is, like, it just goes to show how hard it is to win in the MLB, you know, having a guy like Mauer and Morneau both in their primes, and you know, they couldn't get out of the first round, which is yep. wild, and speaks to how much of a team game baseball truly is, you know. It's unfortunate, the head injuries, you know. Who would have loved to see how much more they could have done without, you know, the concussions that those two guys sustained. But yeah, Morneau was another great one to watch. I loved watching Morneau. He just seemed like a super cool dude as well.
Yeah, and it's definitely a guy, and I've talked about before on the show, like, just kind of him and Larry Walker. It's funny how, like, they both had to almost be told that hockey wasn't their thing, and then all of a sudden, I'm going to do baseball, and just, like, lights out after, right? And that's kind of the interesting part I find with Canadians, like, just, it's that hockey baseball, and I totally get it, but there's so many hockey guys that baseball could be their thing if they actually gave it a shot.
Yeah, it's a little easier to stand out in Canada with baseball than especially at that point when those guys are coming up, for sure. The country is hockey, man. You get drafted like 14, 15 years old, right? Like, You're expected to be a grown up and act like a professional at such a young age when you should still really just be learning, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Well, and I guess that's kind of a question I was going to ask too. Like, was there any hockey guys that you played with that were actually solid at baseball? Do you remember?
I never really played with any hockey guys, to be honest with you.
Gotcha.
You know, I was always on the traveling team, you know, always in the best programs, you know, up until I played with the Dogs. My dad coached a lot. So, and we took it pretty seriously and pretty competitively. I honestly can't remember playing non-competitive baseball traveling probably since I was 10 years old. And, you know, that schedule. Yeah, I honestly can't recall a single hockey player. Maybe it's all that craft beer I've been drinking down here in the Pacific Northwest, killing a couple brain cells. But, and then by the time, you know, I was 14, 15, it was baseball, you know, it was baseball during the summer, and then it was training for baseball in the winter. And there was not a lot of two sport athletes, you know, 15, 16, 17, and 18. You're going to commit to the programs that I was playing in, you know, that's got to be what you're doing. You know, it's tough to play multiple sports. That's hard on the body, for sure.
Yeah, and I actually don't even know if it's allowed anymore, right? Like, I played baseball in the summer against, like, a Ginla and Mike Commodore and guys coming back in the summer, and they would play baseball, but I don't even know if the WHL lets that happen anymore. Actually, I'm curious. I don't know.
Right. I figure with contracts and, you know, the investment that they put in these players, I would imagine so, you know. If your goal is to play professionally, I mean, you got to give it your all, and you got to start young too, man. It's crazy how early you have to make that decision, unless you're like, say, now don't get me wrong, there's always that one or two players that picks a baseball bat up when they're 16 is just a freak athlete that it works out for them. But for the most part, you got to play your whole life and work hard to get to that point, for sure.
And then Juan, it's just time for a ninth inning call to the bullpen. So just going to be some random questions just to learn a little bit more about you.
Absolutely.
Favorite NHL team?
I was born and raised in Calgary, so I don't watch hockey. I don't really ever go to games. But I do know that the Red Mile is a lot of fun when the Flames are in the playoffs. So I got to go with the Flames. You know, that's my only connection to hockey is being in Calgary. So, and there's nothing like a dome beer or two on a Saturday night when they're playing the Battle of Alberta.
Yeah, it'll get you.
those dome beers will get you.
Favorite travel destination?
Favorite travel destination? Wow, that's a tough one. I've had the privilege to travel to a lot of really cool places. I got to be honest with you. I think Cuba was my favorite vacation. I got to go with my family, and it was really cool to experience the culture and experience, you know, a different side of life and a different side of the world. But their love for baseball, you know, it was really cool that, you know, these guys have never owned a baseball glove and were 10 times better than us. So it was like, oh, damn, man, I don't think I could use the classic milk carton to catch a baseball like you guys can. It was cool to see. That was my favorite vacation. But I also really love going to SoCal. I like the, you know, surfer laid back vibes that, you know, that area offers. So those would be my two.
Did you get to go to a game at all in Cuba, or like one of their Winter League games?
No, we didn't. We wanted to, but it didn't line up, unfortunately. So that didn't happen, but would have been sweet to see for sure.
Yeah, it was definitely like the caliber of ball. Like there was a lot of guys just playing in that league that should be playing at least. Like it was legit AA, AAA. Like it was intense. Oh,
yeah. yeah. That's their thing, right? It's baseball. And if there weren't the restrictions or difficulties to come across, then I think there would be a lot more Cubans than there already are.
Yeah. All-time favorite professional wrestler.
Oh, I was a big Undertaker guy growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some about those eyes, man, and just being able to pick a human up and throw him through a mat. I was a big Undertaker guy for sure.
Favorite baseball movie of all time?
Oh, easy, Bull Durham. Yep. Hands down, Crash Davis.
Yep. And while if you could golf or have dinner with any three people dead or alive, who would you like to go with?
Oh, wow. I'll go with Robin Williams for sure. I think he's just such a kind of an inspirational guy. I'm going to go with Babe Ruth because I think he would be a hell of a time to party with. I just want hitting tips from a guy that's crushing Coca-Colas and hot dogs before the game. And then still putting up 714 home runs.
Yeah.
Those two for sure. And then I got a soft spot for Chadwick Boseman. It would be the third one, I think. He played Jackie Robinson, and you know, he had such an impact on culture and pop culture and media. I think he'd be a cool guy to play a round of golf with. So yeah, Robin Williams, Chadwick, and Babe Ruth would be my three picks.
And you'd prefer it to be golf?
Yeah, golf for sure. You know, dinner is nice and all, but golf course is just different. You know, getting a couple beers and yes, nice summer day, still moving around so you don't feel guilty about your habits. Golf would be no carts, dude. You got to do the walk. You got to carry your bag.
That's tough.
That's a long day for sure. Babe wouldn't make it, man. Babe wouldn't make it.
any particular course?
Ah, man, I haven't experienced a whole lot in the golf realm, so I wouldn't even be able to place my finger on a specific course, but somewhere famous, somewhere that Trump built just to feel good about it, you know. I think Robin Williams would have a heyday with a Trump course. I think that would be a good experience. I don't know if Trump would approve, but it would be fun for me.
And Juan, if you could be an Olympian in any sport, summer or winter, what sport would you like to do?
I think they need to make cornhole Olympic sport, because that would be hands. I'm not ruling out a cornhole career in my near future, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's kind of.
So we're going to start a petition here at Sidearm Nation to get cornhole into the Olympics. Forget baseball. Just let the WBC do it. But we need cornhole in the Olympics. And I will captain that team. I'm going to need about 3 pints to get anywhere close to the hole. But if I had to pick a real sport that exists in the Olympics, damn, that's tough. Half pipe. I want to learn how to snowboard and do the half pipe. Sean White was always cool to watch growing up, so let's go with that.
Well, they got enough. Like, there's basically all, you know, break dancing is coming in the Olympics. So, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Why not cornhole?
Yeah. It's amazing to me that they're going to take a 90s dance trend and make it an Olympic sport. That's how you know that it's just not what it used to be. It's just long ago are the days of, you know, Michael Jordan's dream team. And this is what the Olympics has become. You know, we got to tap into millennial nostalgia to get interest in viewership.
And lastly, Juan, just going to test you here a little bit. Do you know which MLB team your former coach at TRU, Ray Chadwick, used to play for?
It's one of two teams. I want to say it was the White Sox. Was it the Angels?
Yeah, definitely the California Angels. Yeah.
California Angels. That's right. I knew it was one of those two. I don't know why I thought it was the White Sox, but yeah, the Angels. Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I'm sure I think he played in the White Sox system for sure. But yeah, made it to the bigs with the California Angels or whatever they are now. I think they've changed 7 different times.
Yeah, yeah. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Yeah, I think that's right. I think maybe it can, because I remember one story he told us when he was with the White Sox organization. And I could be wrong, but this story just sticks out so well because we were at his house watching the Super Bowl. And he has a Super Bowl at his house every year for the team. And he was telling us about how he never understood why people ask the umpire to clean off the home plate. It's like the catcher puts the glove down and that's where I'm throwing the ball. I don't care if I can see the plate or not. And I feel like he referenced his time with the White Sox, but I could be wrong. Again, that was, you know, a good 12 years ago. So, but the Angels for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going off the old Wikipedia. So hopefully.
There we go. I like it. Keep me sharp on a Wednesday morning. It's good.
I appreciate you coming on, Juan. Is there any shout outs before we sign off?
Yeah, shout out to Grandson Sports. You know, my dad, he was a key factor in my coming up with baseball. You know, shout out to my younger brother, Brody, playing for Williston State right now and committed to Oklahoma next year. He's also playing for the Dogs this summer, so I'm sure he'll be in the starting rotation there. And then I just want to plug my comedy special, I guess. You can find it on YouTube everywhere. It's called The Snow Mexican. And it's also available on Amazon Prime in the U.S. and the U.K. So go check that out as well.
She said, do you come from a land down under, where women glow and men plunder? Can't you hear the thunder?
Yeah.
You better run, you better take cover,
yeah.
You better run, you better take cover.